Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The Yang di Pertuan Agong today met with 114 MPs to reconfirm their nomination of Ismail Sabri as Malaysia's ninth Prime Minister. Now, there had been some doubt yesterday as to whether Gabungan Parti Sarawak's 18 MPs would follow through on support for Ismail Sabri. This after cryptic remarks from GPS leader Abang Johari Oping, who said that they were leaving the decision to the wisdom of the Agong. Now, to get some clarity on how GPS and other Borneo parties are positioning themselves during this political crisis, let's speak now to the Deputy Chief Minister of Sarawak, Tan Sri James Jemut Masing. He's also the president of Parti Rakyat Sarawak, or PRS, which is a component party of GPS. Tan Sri, good evening. Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Now, there was some speculation yesterday about who GPS was going to support. I mean, there were remarks that suggested that GPS MPs might revoke support for Ismail Sabri if the Agong preferred to choose a different prime minister. Now, I'm just wondering whether this suggested that there was some degree of flexibility when it came to GPS's 18 votes.
Hello. Hi. Good evening, Melissa. There was no degree of flexibility in the sense. GPS was very, very confirmed from the very beginning that we will endorse only one person. When he was asked, when YAB CM was asked, whom do we choose? We don't want to overtake the king's prerogative to announce, but we ascertain only one name, and that was Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri.
Tan Sri James, I understand also that in reports that Shafi Abdal, because the head of Warisan, seems to have suggested he had reached out to GPS in order to support the alternative or one of the alternatives, that was Anwar Ibrahim, in their bid to become the next prime minister. Could you tell us a little bit about that relationship that you have, GPS has with Warisan and also with Pakatan Harapan?
Yeah, all right. I was quite surprised that we were told that Datuk Sri Shafi Abdal make a call to us, but I'm not aware of it. And I don't think the Chief Minister also know that there is no communication between us and Shafi Abdal regarding the replacement of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. That's why I was surprised when I saw in the news that he did make a call, an approach. It never happened. Not that I know of.
Well, the media also reported that that Abang Jo said that at no point did the opposition court GPS, did Anwar Ibrahim court GPS. Is that true? And would that have made a difference?
I don't know. As far as a PRS is concerned, no call has been made from that side, from Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim. He might have called the Chief Minister's office. I'm not privy to that conversation, but I doubt it very much.
Tan Sri, has there been, during this period, any renegotiation of the relationship between GPS and Perikatan Nasional? I understand GPS supports Perikatan Nasional, but is not formally part of the Perikatan Nasional. Had there been more negotiations with regard to what GPS wants from the incoming administration?
As far as we are concerned, GPS with Perikatan Nasional, our connection has been clear from the very beginning. We are part of Perikatan Nasional, but we are not a member of it. That is very clear from the very beginning. Since then, there's never been renegotiation of where we stand. We stay where we are. We are outside, but yet we are part. Associate is an associate member, so to speak. But we are not officially associate member in that sense. We can come in and we can get out anytime we want.
That is a very unique position to have. And because you have this one 1 foot in the door and 1 foot out the door. And I'm just wondering then, if that's the position you take, then would you assess the criticisms directed at the Muhyiddin Yassin administration? Do you agree with these criticisms? Do you think that Muhyiddin Yassin was unfairly removed from his position?
We were listening very carefully to what are criticism against Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. We look into that. We keep our ear on the ground, so to speak. If the criticism is valid, we will listen to it. We may give our input to then Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. If not, we just keep it quiet and just leave it where it is, so to speak. But we are very much aware of the criticism against Pakistan National. That we are very much aware of. And we are not immune to the criticism. But kalau criticism too, okay, there's a validity to the criticism, we will give our input into the Prime Minister then, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin.
Tan Sri, do you think the former Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin was unfairly removed from his position?
Unfairly removed? Well, I think Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin was a very good man. He tried his best under the circumstances. We must remember he was put in a position where Malaysia faced a very, very difficult situation. When he comes in, there's squabbling among the political parties in Semenanjung Malaysia, and then we have an attack by COVID-19 pandemic. And those are very unique situations which put Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin in a very difficult situation. What to do? First, he had to fight COVID-19. Two, he had to defend his political position because of squabbling within the party and Semenanjung Malaysia. But he did it very well. And I must admit, he did it the best that he could. And I believe that he was a very honest approach in dealing with it.
Okay.
It's so just unfortunate.
Right. So having said that, would PRS and GPS want the next prime minister to continue the policies of the last administration?
We would like it to be carried on. We would like continuity in this government. And the continuity must not ignore Sarawak position.
Tan Sri, there was reports or suggestions that Secretary General of Parti Pesaka Bumiputra Bersatu, PBB, Alexander Nantalingi, might be made Deputy Prime Minister. Have you heard this? Is it true? And is this a good thing?
I do. I heard it on the ground. It's a coffee shop talk. And I think there is credibility to that talk. Must you understand that Dato' Sri Alexander Lingi has a very interesting pedigree, a very, very appropriate pedigree to be in Malaysia. You will understand, of course, that his grandfather was one of the early founder of the creation of Malaysia in the 60s. And then his father, Tan Sri Lingi, and himself now. To me, in terms of pedigree, he has the correct pedigree to be the PT Prime Minister of Malaysia.
How important is it to GPS that there is a Deputy Prime Minister from Borneo?
It is very important because that says there is recognition for what we do, what we contribute to make Malaysia a very stable government. And we have always been the moderator for that the conflict. Every time there's a conflict in Semenanjung Malaysia, when the last 2 months, GPS come in and try to solve it. And I think to a certain extent, we did it. Because of our intervention with the creation of a government under Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, and I believe that we are so involved in the creation of Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri government, which we'll soon be having, I hope.
And okay, I think, thank you so much.
But given that PM to us, that is a recognition of our contribution.
Okay, Tan Sri James, thank you so much for joining us on the show. That was Deputy Chief Minister of Sarawak, Tan Sri James Mussing. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with more on Consider This. So stay tuned. Hi, you're watching Consider This with me, Melissa Idris, and I've got Sharad Kutan as well on the line. Dr. Kelvin Yee is joining us now. He's the DAP Member of Parliament for Bandar Kuching. Dr. Kelvin, thank you for being on the show tonight. Now, I'm just wondering, given everything that's happened in the past weeks and days, did the opposition have a fighting chance to win back Putrajaya? Or was this crisis essentially internal to Perikatan Nasional?
Thank you so much, Melissa, and also Sharad for having me again. I think, of course, while I am disappointed with, I think, what the results seems to be, but again, it is not expected. I personally feel that the opposition had a fighting chance, especially in terms of bringing a whole new political realignment and a whole new focus to reset the approach of the government towards COVID-19 as well as the economy. We needed a change, we needed a reset to address some of the incompetency and the failures that the previous government has done. So that was the hope that we had. And I think that was the hope that the people have of us. So it is our responsibility to try and also to negotiate, hopefully, a realignment of something, a new dynamics in politics in Malaysia.
Kelvin, what really, you know, were the numbers to be gotten by the federal opposition? We're talking 220 members of the House. What room for maneuver could there have been for Anwar Ibrahim and Shafiq Abdallah as they led 105? Where else could those extra numbers come from?
I think one of the important and significant agreement that the opposition come to was to have a combo of Anwar Ibrahim and Shafiq Abdal with a solid 105. And from that 105, the agreement was either one, whether it was Anwar Ibrahim or Shafiq Abdal, that could bring us across that so-called magic line, then they will have the full 105 block of support towards that person. And especially with Shafiq Abdal, he brings a whole new, like a breath of fresh air, especially in attracting an important bloc from Sarawak. Of course, we know the GPS bloc. So with 18 of them plus the 105, we are looking at 123, which is a much more stable government compared to the current Ismail Sabri, probably the government at 114. You see, the reason why I said that Shafiq Abdal was a different catalyst is because it is not just a new realignment, but for once we may see the first prime minister from East Malaysia and also a big Borneo bloc with majority of the parties from Borneo coming together. And that itself sets a whole new political dynamics, not just mere, in my view, maybe a token position as a deputy prime minister.
Okay, all right. So, Dr. Kelvin, when we, news reports had quoted that Abang Joe said, PKR, Anwar Ibrahim, did not reach out to GPS. We just spoke to James Massing, and he said that from PRS's position, Shafiq Abdal did not approach. In fact, he didn't even realize Shafiq Abdal was on the ticket, was up for to be on the ticket until he read it in the news. Now, I'm just wondering, is that a failure of the opposition not reaching out across the aisle to make sure that they have the numbers?
Again, I'm not privy to a lot of those conversations, but for my understanding and what we were told, calls or even attempts to reach out, even talks to some of the MPs from GPS itself. So I myself am very surprised for them to deny that there was a talk. Because, for example, in terms of Shafiq, I think there was definitely an incentive or even motivation for him to contact with GPS, as I said, that to form that whole Borneo bloc as well as to have an East Malaysian prime minister. So with that motivation, with that incentive, I have strong doubts that no contact, as they claim, was ever done.
Kelvin, though, you know, isn't there as a kind of a structural impediment to the creation of a Borneo bloc? Your party is a rival at the state level with GPS for power, for control of the state. How can you come together? On what basis would you come together at a federal level when you're rivals at a state level?
I think an understanding can be made, especially when it comes to dealing with issues of national interest. Actually, last year, during Sheraton Move itself, even the DAP party in Sarawak itself, we have our own autonomy to make a decision. So one of the things that was offered to GPS at that time was that if GPS decides to side with Pakatan Harapan to make sure that the federal government is stable, the DAP Sarawak is willing not to contest all the other seats in the state at that time, the upcoming state elections. That means what the ADUNs that we have in Sarawak under DAP will continue to contest the incumbent seats, but we will not contest the rest. I think that is where an understanding or even a big picture could be built between political parties, even especially when it involves national interests.
Right. Very quickly, before we go to break, I just wanted you to address the rumors or speculation that Alexander Natalingi could possibly be named Deputy Prime Minister. You said a little bit earlier that, you said rather a Prime Minister than a Deputy Prime Minister. But what do you make of these rumors?
Of course, I've heard it. But again, my view is that why have a token Deputy Prime Minister when actually GPS, which many analysts say have the tendency just to back a winner. Why back a winner when you can be the winner and catalyze a whole realignment, having the first Borneo Prime Minister and a big Borneo bloc in the whole government itself? I think that's more significant, that's more comprehensive than just a token position as a Deputy Prime Minister.
All right, thank you so much.
Vlas, just very quickly, if we could ask you about what do you expect a new administration will be in terms of pandemic management? Do you see any difference?
Basically, it's the same people. My hope is they will have a more lean and slim cabinet focused on main clusters of issues. I hope to see the health minister be made a senior minister and more focused in terms of health in all the policies that the government has made. But again, with the same people, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Dr. Kelvin, thank you for joining us on the show tonight. That was Bandar Kuching MP, Dr. Kelvin Yi. Let's take another quick break. We'll be back with more. Don't go anywhere. Hello, thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our discussion. And we have Executive Director of Merdeka Center, Ibrahim Sufian, or better known as Ben, joining us on the line. Ben, thank you for being on the show tonight. And I'm just wondering, with all the expectation essentially is that Ismail Sabri is going to be named Malaysia's ninth Prime Minister. Do you see that as a return to a Perikatan National Administration with a similar type of leadership and approach to policy making, but this time with UMNO in the driver's seat?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think, you know, this is indeed an interesting phenomenon because we have a situation where the tables have turned, but, you know, it's still the same table, still the same people around the table, but now it's UMNO leading the committee, leading the driver's seat, and we have potentially Ismail Sabri as a leader. But the rest of the cast of characters around the table are still the same individuals. So we still have the same talent pool, the same issues, as well as the same items on the agenda, which is the economy, COVID-19, and also addressing the deeper impact on reforms that were supposed to take place in the country. So pretty much everything remains the same, including the polarized public that is out there that's very angry, very upset about the difficulties that they're encountering and the seemingly unending crisis that we are seeing unfolding on a daily basis on the COVID-19 front.
Ben, we had a statement from Perikatan National Chief Tazimuddin Yassin, who said that support for Ismail Sabri is conditional on no ministers being from, you know, what he called the kleptocrats, or I guess he said people with corruption charges, over them.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. And in many ways, I think it's a face-saving measure. Yeah.
So, okay, so what happens then to the 15 UMNO that came out? Will they be happy with the continuing rhetoric that seems to be directed at them?
Well, I think they have should grow used to it, should have grown used to it. This rhetoric has been there from day one of the Perikatan National Government. In fact, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin made a big deal about that he's formed a cabinet comprised of people with no controversies, no court cases hanging about them. And I think he's making this remarks or claims again. But I just don't feel that it is very easy to achieve, partly because, you know, he's no longer in the driver's seat. The new prime minister, if it is in the same arrangements or convention as before, will get the free hand or the principal hand of choosing the cabinet members. And he still has to abide by the expectations of his party.
Right. Ben, yes. How do you see the last few days of negotiating coming into play when forming a new government, when forming a new cabinet? Particularly, we see now the jostling for the number two post has already begun even before the prime minister has been named.
Yeah, so I think this is all expected because, you know, the coalition has rearranged, but it's still the same players again. And so it is very important for someone from Bersatu to be given the deputy prime minister's position. But beyond that, there are still cabinet ministries to be filled. And I think both parties, particularly Bersatu, would want to continue to have a share of the seats around the table. And likewise, UMNO, now that it's in the helm, they will want to be able to have the senior post filled by their leaders as well. So I think there will definitely be some kind of jostling for position. And until the day it goes, the selected leader goes to parliament for a test of his numbers, I think we probably might see a lot of developments behind the scenes, horse trading and persuasion behind the scenes.
Ben, can we talk about the palace? Because they have not been reticent about what they think or would like to see in the incoming administration with regard to unity or focus on the pandemic. Do you think they will be happy to see a reboot of the very government that just fell?
Well, I mean, we don't know what goes through the palace, and what we have can only be gleaned by the statements that they have put across. The recent statement that came out a couple of days ago spoke very clearly towards the end of the statement about a need for cooperation, about the need for moving away from a winner-takes-all and loser-loses-everything type of situation. It speaks as if the palace wants to see cooperation, perhaps a bipartisanship happening within the government. And I think that is sensible because the palace cannot dictate, you know, how the government is to be formed. That is embedded in our constitution. But at the same time, it is should be seen as a strong suggestion, recommendation that this warring party set aside the hostility and then focus on the issues at hand. And I think the discussion that has been happening is for whatever administration that comes across needs to go to an election as soon as the situation is clear.
Okay, well, that's looking ahead. And I'm just wondering, in the very short term, I'm wondering what kind, I know there's been a call for cooperation by the royals, but what kind of stability are we likely going to have with this new government? I'm thinking of how important stability is going to be as we go into the tabling of Budget 2022.
Yeah, certainly. I think if we go to a reboot of the old administration, but with a new guy on top, we are still going to be faced by the same problems because admittedly, the numbers are probably only 114, 115 members of parliament, and it's still going to be a very slim majority, precarious majority, subject to emotions and threats and blackmails from, you know, errant members of the parliament. At the same time, you also have very critical issues at hand, and I think for this government, it should not be seen as a victory at all, in the sense that they're still carrying the crisis, they're still carrying that boiling pot, and that if things come undone, it will hurt them the most. Because as things currently stand, the public sentiment towards government is very low. People are upset, as I said earlier. And the government has to prove that it's focused on addressing the pandemic and recovering the country's economy. So it's very critical to have a stable government. I'm not sure a simple reboot is going to deliver us that.
Ben, thank you for being on the show tonight. That was Ibrahim Sufian of Merdeka Center wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.